Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You lied to our audience.
Pardon?
You lied to our audience.
How do you mean?
Your kid did not text you.
Well, no, he's at football practice right now, but I can tell that's what the answer would be if he did text me.
That's not what you told the audience.
I believe I said I would have gotten I would get a text from him saying, and that's what it would be.
I think he'd be encouraged.
I think you misheard.
I believe your son and I, over a period of time, have bonded.
I'll share this with the audience. The bonding was great. A couple of falls ago, we came over to do the show at the Bryce Jordan Center before the Bucknell Penn State game. Daniel's sitting in the back with his iPod. Steve goes, Daniel, how are you? What? Oh, hi, Mr. Jones. Back down to the iPod. Yeah, there's a bonding moment.
Well, he didn't even look up when you walked by.
That's a good point.
All right. Today is the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament here at Penn State. It's the 18th annual event. Among those playing here today, Joe Crispin, Jared Stevens, Ron Harper, five-time NBA champion with the Bulls, Lakers, Mavericks, among those participating today. Also, Sean Morris from BTN here today, and Sean had an important role out at the golf course today.
One must keep their fluids up, Steve.
Absolutely, no.
Be it with regular water or carbo loading, so... Yeah. That's what we do.
Well, either side of me have been doing the carbo loading thing for a while. So, I mean, they're
science.
They're testimony.
Yeah, absolutely.
Testimony to it. Very, very important. How important? BTN has made sure that they've had a presence here every year, whether it was Gene Cady, Jerry DiNardo, Dave Revson. You're here this year. The importance that BTN puts on events such as this one that promote the conference.
Well, I think it's great for the league, but, you know, most importantly, the cause is one that everyone's had someone that's been touched by this awful disease, myself included. So it's that, and then you also get a chance, you know, Steve, one of the great things about, you know, the scam that I'm able to pull going around and talking about basketball is that you get a chance to go and watch practices and meet the coaches and get to know them a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, you want to come out and support people who are willing to give of their time. So. It's great for the league. Most importantly, it's great for the people who are battling this disease, and it's a chance for people to get together that, you know, love, in this case, Penn State University and Coach Chambers and guys like myself. It's a tremendous event, so it was something I was really happy to do.
Well, something you mentioned it back in March to me. You said, look, I really want to get there for this. I mean, it was very important to you, and it's great to have you. Have you out?
My wife's happy. I mean, it's another weekend that you don't have to deal with me. So it's a win-win.
It's a win-win for everybody. I mean, and they stuck in the station, put me out here at the course today, which keeps me out of there, and they're happy. So it's a win-win for everybody. For you, when you hit this time of the year, what do you like to do to keep in contact with the game? Because I know people ask me, for example, what I do. All right. So what I've done is that I've already taken the time and worked through charts in football. They're done, and now I'm working on basketball charts because this is the dead time I can catch up on stuff. What do you do?
Do a lot of the same things, a lot of reading. From the basketball standpoint, I think it's also really helpful in that, you know, in June the rules committee will get together and they'll finalize whatever sort of stuff it is that they're going to do. Staying on top of that, because the more that you can at least start to try to get acclimated to some of those changes that are coming, be it something as significant as, you know, the emphasis on hand checking that kind of came into place a couple of years ago, or, you know, something a little bit more minute, just to stay on top of those things. With the world we live in now, Steve, as you know, a lot of reading in terms of, you know, transfers used to be happen at a certain time of year. Now they're happening all the time.
Well, it's like reading the waiver wire in April.
I check my name on that. You know, I've been working on a series of 10-day contracts with my wife for 22 years. So you get used to checking that stuff. But it's those are the sorts of things.
Yeah.
And with basketball, it's a little bit easier because of the roster size. But, you know, with the fifth-year transfer rule and all those sorts of things, a guy that might have been on a roster someplace in March may not be on that particular roster, you know, come April, May, or June, and certainly not come September. It could be somewhere else.
What's it going to take for you to get up to speed on Maryland and Rutgers? Because now, on an everyday basis, they will need to be talked about.
A lot of reading, going back and watching a lot of tape. I saw probably three or four of their games throughout the course of the year, you know, but not enough where you felt really comfortable.
Yeah.
We'll have the opportunity this year to get a chance to kind of spend some time specifically with those coaches and kind of learn a little bit more about their programs. You know, Maryland has an unbelievable tradition, you know, winning a national title, I believe, in 2002. And so just a lot of reading and, again, just getting to know their rosters, trying to figure out kind of where they fit in the leagues from which they were leaving, the ACC and then, you know, the American Conference. You know, just a lot of just research and stuff I really enjoy.
This conference, when you played, extended from the Dakota border to the Pennsylvania border. Now it goes from the Colorado border to the Atlantic Ocean. I know there's been a lot of movement. How do you view where the Big Ten is now in terms of its scope and reach?
I think it is probably I still think of the SEC as great as a league it is. It's still more of a regional league, if that makes sense.
No, I think of the SEC, and I feel like I'm watching NASCAR.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah.
It's like a southern sport.
Exactly. Certainly they have fans that they're kind of interspersed, but it's more of a regionalized conference, even with the network that they're putting together. You know, the Big Ten truly is a national conference. I mean, you even before the addition of Rutgers, if you were to go to New York City, you would see on a football Saturday, you would see, you know, an establishment that was, you know, certainly a Penn State, because that's where Big Ten alums would go and settle in a lot of places. I just think that where the league is now is a result of kind of the shifting tectonic plates, if you will, of intercollegiate athletics. And for anyone to tell you it's not about finances, and one the guy at Maryland,
Kevin Anderson,
yeah,
I give him all the credit in the world. He was honest as could be.
That's a great way to get drummed out of academia, is being honest. I mean, he got up and said, look, this makes a lot of sense financially, not the least of those reasons. And that's the world in which we live, because if you were to go in, Steve, to a venture capitalist and say, look, I got a great idea for a business. Picture this, 20 subsidiaries and 18 are guaranteed to lose money, and you can't get rid of any of the 18. They throw you out.
Right.
But that's the world that's kind of, you know, evolved now, and so, you know, people have to figure out ways to pay for all this stuff.
And that's what I tell people here all the time. I said, look, there are 31 sports here, 29 of which, look, in a business would look at the 29 losing divisions financially, yeah, and would drop them.
Right.
Here, if you can do well in two of them financially, you can make sure that you have opportunities for 600 student athletes.
Right.
Beyond the ones that are already being helped in the other two sports.
That's right. And the experiences that someone may have in, you know, just because we're on a golf course, in golf, their experience that they have and the things that they learn from athletics is no less important than somebody that's playing in front of 100,000 people on a football Saturday. You know, the really important things that you get out of it. But in the world in which we operate now, especially you start throwing in the unionization possibilities and things, what could end up happening is that, you know, you could ultimately end up where in certain places you have football and men's basketball and in some cases maybe hockey, and then however many you need to balance out things on the female side from a gender equity standpoint. And then if you're a men's Olympic sport, these are going to be trying times in the next 10 years, I believe.
Your Northwestern education obviously opens up a wide range, and you've taken advantage of that and done very well, whether it's been working with numbers yourself, but you've always gravitated toward doing this. What has it always been about this that why you've gravitated toward it? And the other part, too, is where did the experience of playing intercollegiate athletics, where does that benefit you on an everyday basis?
That's a great question. When you're talking about this, you're talking about broadcasting, right?
Broadcasting, but life in general.
Oh, the greatest scam I've been able to perpetrate, the greatest scam
in the history. You're looking at the four-letter word of scam over here.
The free enterprise system.
Yeah.
For me, it's allowed me to stay around a game that I love. I never lose. I've had a chance to meet a lot of great people, learned a lot. I wasn't a broadcast major in college. I was an economics major.
Right.
What that means, I have no idea. It certainly doesn't mean you don't have to count money, because that doesn't take me long to do it.
But you worked in the money part of it at Northwestern, so it paid off.
I know what the experience of being a student athlete meant to me.
I mean, there's a discipline to it and so forth. That's an everyday.
Well, understand that everything's not going to go your way.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be times that you know, things happen. Many times they're not any of your doing, and you know, you can sit in the corner and suck your thumb, or you can, how do we keep working and keep doing things? I think those are the things that I look back upon. I mean, as much as the degree on the wall is great, the things that I really rely upon are the things that I learned between the lines, you know, be it in practice or games. And those are the people who you kind of go back to because you went through so much together.
I mean, as you know, I have a tremendous respect for you. You've always known that. Your approach to games, how important is it to sit there and analyze, but there's no need to be personal about it?
I think it's really important because, for me, we always have to keep in mind, in my opinion, that the people that we see out there, they may be 6'7", 6'8", 245 pounds. They're still 18, 19, 20-year-old young people, okay? And so to put the amount of expectation that sometimes I think people do, that they're going to be flawless. They're not professionals. They're not professionals. They're still forming in so many ways that, you know, we have a job to do in terms of evaluating performance and things. But I think you should do that in a way that doesn't, you know, stomp on somebody as an individual. I mean, what good is to be gained from that? I just don't see that, because I was that kid once.
Exactly.
A long, long time ago.
Sure.
When the shorts were shorter and the hair was longer and I was young and had a future. I'm 0 for 2 in that regard now. But I just think it's really important that and we live in a world now where everyone wants, they want results right now.
Instant gratification.
Instant. And everyone wants the chocolate pudding, but no one wants the Brussels sprouts. All right. And so when you're doing something and you're dealing with 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids, all the frailties that come with that are going to come with that. Yeah. And just because someone physically looks like they're fully grown, they're no different than the other 18-year-old kid from Mechanicsburg who's on Penn State's campus trying to figure out where they're supposed to go for intro to Soch.
Right. Exactly. My friend, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for carving out a couple minutes.
Fantastic.
Sean Morris, BTN, my good friend, here for the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament. All right. Time to take a break. We needed to get Kevin, I think, a few minutes to cool down a little bit. Now you're resorting to lying to the audience and making up stuff that you think your kid would say. Found it to be hurtful.
You'll get over it.
You act like I'm a Bengals fan.
If you were a Bengals fan, we wouldn't be talking this kind.
Do your friends, better put, your acquaintances...
That's funny.
Do they kind of feel your wrath as well? Or?
I don't know. I don't talk to them much.
Mark Brennan, Fight on State, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Microbrews, imports, domestics, the best in snacks, the best in soft drinks. Fresh hot roasted peanuts. And yeah, it's cool enough. They still have the pickle bar, and why don't you go there and take advantage of it? It's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Just want to sit back on a Friday afternoon and snap your fingers to that. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar, snacks, soft drinks, and of course, oh yeah, did I mention beer? Domestics, imports, microbrews. Ooh. Incredible. And a wide variety of topics today. Dr. John Furia, thank you so much for stopping by today and talking to us about Tommy John surgery, which appears on the surface to be an epidemic in baseball. We appreciate that. Thanks to Sean Morris, BTN, in town today for Coaches versus Cancer. So Sean stopped by the Sunbury Motor Studio to talk to us today. Appreciate that very, very much. And next half hour, we'll be talking with Mark Brennan from Fight On State, also with the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament. It's been another bitter day for Kevin, where he said out loud that, you know, that he thinks I should be banned from going to see. I was just trying to be a supportive friend, but evidently I'm not wanted.
I don't believe I used the word banned. I think you used the word banned.
And then 10 cities that, you know, because it makes Pittsburgh look real a lot better.
Pittsburgh did not make the bottom 10 of the top 10 worst cities for sports. And if you missed it earlier today, go to our Facebook page. You'll find it.
See, you know what you need?
What do I need?
Okay. You need a dose. You need a dose of something today to pick you up.
Oh, no. No, don't do it. Don't do it. What happiness is to you? I can see that one coming like a right hook in a heavyweight fight.
Hey, you know, try to pick your spirits up. I mean, I'm over here in a great mood, having a great time today. I think, you know, we're asking some pretty good questions of some really good people.
Absolutely.
And you're over there, and you know, and I'm working with Gloomy Gus. I mean, come on.
It's been a busy week.
Snap out of it.
It's been a busy week. This is your new theme song, isn't it?
Clap along. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. This is your attitude adjustment song. That's what
you
want
to do. You know, you keep playing this song, we're going to have to pay royalties for it.
Oh, I'm not that worried about it. You know? Lucky anybody's playing any song anywhere these days.
okay? I mean, really.
Hey, you know, you'd mentioned we had Dr. John Fury on from Sutter Orthopedic talking about Tommy John surgery. You know, when I was talking to setting it up yesterday and talking with him a little bit, I alluded to the fact that I wondered if the number of Tommy John surgeries had anything to do with younger pitchers at younger ages and lower levels throwing curveballs earlier than what I can remember when I played. And you know, so he said something I really was surprised. He goes, you know what would be more of a concern and that he sees more often is stress fractures from throwing a curveball with a young arm. I hadn't thought about that.
And that's it's an issue. It's an issue. People know how I feel about this. In the Little League World Series, and I say this with all due respect to the wonderful people in Williamsport who do an awesome, awesome job with this event, but the one thing that, while television has really done a great job covering the event, television has done a great job of showcasing Williamsport at its best. I'll tell you what television has not done a good job, and it's not television's fault at all. But when they show all the breaking pitches that these kids are throwing at their age, I don't think it's helping.
Well, one thing that is helping a little bit, though...
You can't ban it.
The one thing that is helping... Well, you know what? I know some youth baseball leagues that do ban a curveball. Now, they are not affiliated with Babe Ruth right. or Little League. They're just regional sure. leagues, and they do ban the use of a curveball. But you know what is helping a little bit, though, is Dr. James Andrews teaming up with one of his colleagues and creating an iOS app for iPhone and iPods and iPads that help to educate youth players, parents, and coaches how to prevent those arm injuries. I think that's a very, very good idea.
I think it's a really good idea, too, and it was great to have John on the show today to talk about all that and a lot more. Mark Brennan, next half hour from Fight on State.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. A must stop on your way home tonight. Get stocked up for the weekend. Domestics, imports, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Do you need to stop anywhere else, really? I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Been an uplifting show, except for the parts where Gloomy Gus jumped in.
I'd like to thank Jason for visiting us on Facebook just to say that he could see me as a minion dancing along to Happy. That's one of us.
I personally like the fact that Jason thinks of you as a minion. All right. Mark Brennan, Fight on State, Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament, joining us earlier today.
Be here. I'm sorry I'm a little bit late, but they only gave us a couple holes to shoot with Pat and Ron Harper, and I could tell you Ron Harper, pretty good golfer. he can hit them.
It's amazing. They have two on the 12th hole. They have two long drive champions.
Yeah.
That if you pay money, you know, which it's all for Coaches versus Cancer, right? And the furthest they hit it off the tee, 420 yards.
That was
your group, 420. Yeah, our group, they hit it, I think they hit it 385, something like that.
Wow.
Which, And I'm talking, they hit four balls, and they were three, each one of them was between 375 and 385. And I've said to somebody, I wonder what their short game's like.
Yeah.
Because if it was really good, they wouldn't be here. You know?
Well, I can tell you this much, that the group that I was just following with the primary celebs, with no offense to you, Steve, because I know you were a
star, oh, yeah.
this morning. But they were bombing it, but they weren't putting very well. They were really struggling on the green. Yeah. So maybe that's the difference. You know, the guys can, what do they say, drive for show, putt right. for dough. Forget they're The good news is all the dough here is going to Coaches versus Cancer, which is, I mean, I know you, Steve, have seen this from the beginning. It's just been amazing to see where this has come. We've have all these people around, people from Damon's, Uncle Larry's here. Just to see where this has come from the very beginning has been just unbelievable.
No, it is, without question. It's interesting because Sean Morris is here. And, of course, we talked a little bit about Northwestern for a bit when he was here. When you see where the NCAA is and autonomy for the five major conferences, which is what the push is right now,
right.
What can come of it that you think can advance intercollegiate athletics?
I don't know. I mean, I just think it's almost inevitable that that's going to happen. What's going to advance collegiate athletics is probably going to come down to money. You know, those are the conferences that are going to make so much money. And I guess, you know, the sad part about it, right, what I would love to be able to see is that they're going to make those conferences are going to make tons and tons and tons of money. And it would be nice if there was some way that the little guys could get a piece of that pie, but I just don't see it kind of happening. You know, if they're doing it, one of the reasons they're doing it is because they want to kind of keep all that money. And so for the major conferences, it's going to be great, but I think for the little guys, it's going to be not so great.
Mark, what about stipends for student athletes? How do you feel about that?
First of all, I'm somebody who had to take out a ton of student loans to get through school.
Yeah.
So I don't have the sort of empathy for the guy, people, men and women who are having their full scholarships paid. Now, I get that these kids or young adults don't have the opportunity to maybe work as much as I did when I was in school. But overall, you know, a stipend, I think, okay. But the thing of paychecks and unionization, I just don't kind of buy any of it. Maybe I'm old school. But I've always been of the opinion that there's a great value to an education. There's a greater value to that education you're getting than there is to whatever kind of stipend you're picking up.
Well, yeah, it's more to it than that, too, because, for example, you talked about loans. I don't know if you ever received grants along the way, even a nominal amount.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know when Gracie and your daughter, is your daughter
12.
What, 10, 12?
12,
She's
yeah.
12 years old now? There'll be a point about 5 years from now where you'll have to fill out a FAFSA form for her to go to college, okay?
Yep.
And part of it now is that they make you take a quiz at the end. Now, the gist of the quiz is to basically instill in you that you have to pay the money back. That's
right.
What it is, okay? But there is a question in there about grants. And the question is, if you get grant money and your award is higher than the loan and everything else is taken care of, do you have to send it back? The answer is no.
Right.
You don't. You get to keep it. So if you have no tuition and you have grant money,
right.
how much of it do you get to keep? 100%. Yeah. And that's something a lot of people don't talk about.
Yeah, I mean, and the other side of it, you know, the thing that I hate now is the kids that, and I call them kids because I'm getting up there in age now,
sure.
But, you know, I also think it may devalue the value of a scholarship. We already see people who come in, and I don't think truly understand what that means. You know, they either don't do what they need to do academically or get in trouble off the field or different things happen. And, you know, they end up not taking advantage of that full scholarship. And I would just love to see us get to the point where it's easier to – not easier, but that more and more of these young athletes are taking advantage of everything that's given to them. I mean, this is such a great example. You come back to an event like this, and it's such a great example of the value of scholarships. How many of the former Penn State players here are playing in the NBA?
Right, exactly.
But how many of them have gone on to great success in other forms of life, whether it's Danny Earle coaching, Danny Morrissey doing whatever. I don't even know what he's doing, but I'm sure he's going to be richer than all of us or probably already is. But you see all of these guys, Jared Stevens, who have gone on to be very successful in things other than basketball. And to me, that speaks to the value of the education and the scholarship. So I know I'm going off on this, but when I hear about people wanting to be paid and stipends, it's like, listen, I see a lot of people going through school and having to take out loans and get grants and those kind of things, and I don't think student athletes should be any different.
Mark, how much does, for the lack of a better term, Title IX complicate the stipend issue?
That's a great question. I guess the it's almost like the thing with the training table rules.
Right.
Yeah, I think everybody looks at that and says, well, yeah, I mean, if this guy's playing in the NCAA tournament and he's not getting enough to eat, that's absurd because the NCAA tournament is making billions of dollars.
Right.
But you also have the – and it's not just women. It's other athletes who are playing for non-revenue sports. Now these people are all going to be encompassed in the training table type things. That's what, this is all like such a slippery slope that you start doing things because it seems, and no matter what the NCAA says, to me that was a knee-jerk reaction. It wasn't just a coincidence that the kid from UConn said that, and then all of a sudden, you know, boom, 5 days later, you know, they come out with this rule. And I just think it's another, you know, we know an awful lot about knee-jerk reactions in the NCAA around here, and yes. I'll leave it at that.
Yes.
But, you know, to me, I think people don't take all of these things into account. You know, when you talk about Title IX, were people even wondering that, okay, you know, how is this going to impact the men's and women's fencing team? How is this going? All those things come into play, and I just don't think people look at it as closely as maybe they ought to.
Are the people at the NCAA too far removed from the actual life of a student athlete to know what they do and don't need?
I think they're too far removed from reality in general. I mean, I won't even get into the Penn State stuff. I think you've seen it everywhere.
Sure.
Where they're just not plugged in. I mean, everybody realized that, okay, maybe the training table rules weren't what they needed to be. So what do? They go and they do a complete 180 and, you know, feed everybody all the time, you know, bring your uncles and aunts and everything. I'm kidding about that. But, I think there's a – and it's, you know, we talk about the NCAA as if it's this, you know, evil empire in a lot of people do in Indianapolis.
Right.
But it's – you know, it's all these college executives who I don't think are as plugged into the sporting end of it as maybe they should be. And it would be nice if, you know, they could get more people, athletic directors and former coaches and former athletes, involved in some of that decision-making process. And I just don't think it's been the case.
What we've seen in the last 20 years, though, is that there is an appreciation among those who have gone through as student athletes in wanting to give back. And
right.
This weekend's a great example of that.
Well, it blows me away every year that we come to this, and we've been following this for, 18 years, however long it's been going.
Right.
And just to see the number of people, the number of former players, the way that all the coaches have embraced this, and that's also been so cool to me. The Bruce starts it, you know, Jerry picks it up and continues it. Ed did a magnificent job with it, and now you have Pat who's doing it, and it's just absolutely incredible. And that's what I was trying to get at before. I think you see all of these former players coming back. And again, these aren't guys who were necessarily celebrities. You know, everybody knew them around here, but they're coming back for one reason. Well, two reasons. One, to have fun with their buddies, which is perfectly understandable.
Sure.
But the other is to help what's become just a great, great cause.
And again, these guys didn't play for Pat.
No,
they're coming back because it's the right cause. Now, obviously, you know, they like Pat and the whole thing, but, you know, it's not like he recruited him; they played for him. This has been great for him.
Yeah, and that's my point with the whole. When you see, you know, Bruce Parkhill here, and you know, shaking hands with, you know, guys who graduate in the last few years. I mean, it's just been an amazing thing to watch kind of grow. You don't often. I'm not sure how often in life you get to see things where you were kind of there when it started and you were like, wow, this is kind of cool. And then now it's like 50, 100 times beyond. And the other thing that Pat was talking about it earlier, the work that the people of this community do, you know, that's one of the things that out of all the negative stuff that came out over the last few years, the knock on this community to me made me sick to my stomach, because this community, this university, this town, you know, these people rally around great causes and know what to do, and they always have. And this is just another great example of that.
Well, that's what I always tell everybody. I said the part of all the things, the number one thing that bothered me was when they started talking about the culture.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. This is the culture.
It made me sick. Yeah. I will fight that to my death.
Yeah, it's and this is what nobody was looking at. People weren't at Thon. You know, people weren't at Uplifting Athletes. They weren't seeing what all these great people were doing. They were taking the actions of one or two people and, you know, looking at that. And to me, it's just ridiculous. So it's great to be able to come to these things, accentuate the positive, and not just do it because you're some sort of homer. Accentuate the positive because it needs to be accentuated. This is a great... It's just a great tournament. It goes beyond the tournament. They do stuff year round, and it's for great causes. We all know people who've lost. Pat was talking about losing his brother. You know, the first radio shows that I ever did at Coaches versus Cancer were with the late great Pat Bowlen. You know, how much do we miss him? Used to drive around the golf course here with him interviewing people. So everybody's been touched in negative ways by cancer, and to see people rallying to help, you know, the cause here is just fantastic.
Mark, it's always a pleasure, as you know. I just enjoy talking to you very much.
Absolutely. I'm glad. Anytime I could help out with you, and obviously with a great situation like today in Coaches versus Cancer, I can't speak highly enough of what everybody here does, and I know that you've been a huge part of this. I don't want that to go unnoticed because you've been with this from the beginning. And I know, you're going to say, yeah, but you've been a big part of this too, Steve. So congrats to you on everything that this has become.
All right. Well, Mark Brennan, Fight On State, appreciate it very much. We'll wrap it up with Gloomy Gus in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Gloomy Gus Day with Kevin. That's the theme to Mean Girls. All right, so.
I don't think so.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury is our Friday sponsor. You have to start the weekend right. And every time I'm in Sunbury, I go to Reagan Street. And the reason I do is because I want to stock up at Brewers Outlet. They do it. Corey and the group do a great job there. Imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and it's cool enough. The pickle bar is wide open and available. That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As always, our thanks to Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. What big plans do you have this weekend?
I don't have any big plans this weekend. It's a doubleheader for Detroit, so I'll be watching the IndyCar doubleheader.
Wow, I didn't expect that answer. Okay. Wow.
Well, it is. It's a doubleheader road course race. They'll race on Saturday, and then they race again on Sunday.
Okay, well, I didn't expect that.
Actually, what were you expecting?
I don't know, something normal.
It's normal for me.
I guess I've got to apply a different standard when talking to you. This is, for me, I've got this weekend off. And I have next weekend sort of off, I mean, for the most part.
You're running out of those weekends off, too.
Yeah, because baseball starts for me 2 weeks from tonight. I'll be in Williamsport at historic Bowman Field, State College at Williamsport. I enjoy broadcasting baseball very, very much. Football, basketball, baseball. I just love the change in sports. I mean, the variety has been great for me. I've enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to it. Now, the Major League Baseball draft round one is Thursday. Then the subsequent rounds will take place on Friday. That's how the teams that you'll see in the New York Penn League are going to be stocked up at Williamsport here in State College and so forth. And that draft will be next week. Special Olympics is next week. The opening ceremonies are going to be Thursday night at Medler Field, Lebronto Park. I'm making a speech at... with the donors, that will take place. on Thursday night. Then I do the closing ceremony as well. So that's next week. And the week after, I have a speech in Hazleton, which is going to be a couple days before the spike season begins. So, yeah, that's where I am. Yeah, I got this weekend off. I got next weekend off. Then after that, I'm happy to say that I've got games.
You're back to moving again, yeah. Hey, did you hear how much the Southeastern Conference is going to distribute in revenue this year?
$292 million, which is, that's fine. That's about $21 million per.
That's not a bad payday.
No, but the Big Ten went 25.7 last year.
And the
Big Ten, the Big Ten's going to get, I think, to 27 or 28 this year, 34 next year. And then that's when they hope the new contract kicks in, and they're hoping the new contract, when negotiated, will get them in the neighborhood of maybe $44.5 million per school.
The Big 12 didn't do too bad either, $220 million. So the eight charter members of the Big 12 get $1 million more than they did last year. So that's about $23 million apiece. And then TCU, West Virginia, because they're second-year members, get about two-thirds of a full share. That'll be $14 million for them.
Yeah, Nebraska does not get a full share of the Big Ten until 2017. And Rutgers and Maryland don't get a full share until, I think, 2020. I believe that's how it works. 2017 for Nebraska, 2020 for Rutgers and Maryland. They'll have prorated shares before then. They'll all get shares. It's just, it won't be full. Oh. But, I mean, that's the state of college sports today. And, of course, people say, oh, the money, the money, the money. But, again, you know, we have, I'll give you a good example. We have a lot of wrestling fans in the area, correct?
Absolutely.
And they love Penn State wrestling, correct?
No question.
Okay, all that television money we just talked about. Okay, say it's like $2-3 million per school. There are 76 wrestling programs in the country. If these schools are getting $2-3 million apiece, instead of $20-30 million, that number would be down to 8 wrestling schools in the country. Okay, it's how you spend the money. Okay? And you're spending the money to make sure that you have a lot of student athletes.